We're holding on Chof Vav Amud Aleph at the top by the Mishnah. So we talked about Kinyan, the various ways of Kinyan of an Isha, an Eved Ivri or Shivcha or Omar Ivriya, an Eved Knani, Behemoth, and now we're down to Metalkalin, going from Metabo down to Chai to now to Tameach and Doimim. Mishnah says, Nechosim Shiesh Lehem Achrayus, Nechosim that a property that has achrayus, meaning karka, the expression nechosim shesh lamachrayus is the reason why is because only karka is their achrayus in the sense that a bal chov can collect from it if the person defaults on the loan. You can't collect in that way from the talisman. Actually, there are some circumstances even in the times of the Gemara where certain circumstances where you could collect from the Talmud. The Gemara that mentions, for example, in Arabia, back when Jews actually lived there, where everybody had a camel, then you could collect from that. So later on in the times of the Goyanim, when it became less common for Jews to own land, they made a takana that a creditor can collect from the Talmud in general. But back in the time, they used that as a precedent. They used that thing about the camels as a precedent for this idea.
The basic idea is
because metalkalin, well, it's not, you can collect from the person himself who borrowed the money. Sure, you can collect any of them, but we're talking about from a third party. If you go and sell karka to somebody else, there's still a chrayus in the sense that the bal chayiv can go and collect from that third party. He can be told of it, as we learned from Ksubas and in various other places, from that third party. Whereas with metalkalin, you can't do that. Metalkalin is less of a curl in the first place that you owed money. And second of all, metalkalin can easily be hidden. So because of that, then avodim in that sense are metalkalin as well. So therefore, metalkalin in general are called mechasim she'en lahem achrayus. You can't use them as security for a loan, as opposed to karka, you can. Or not you can't, but ordinarily you don't. Okay. Anyway, they are, so mechasim she'en lahem achrayus, she'yesh lahem achrayus, meaning karka, or anything attached to the karka for that matter, nicknamed the kesef or shtar of chazaka. Those can be acquired with money, or with a shtar, or with chazaka. Money is exactly what it sounds like. Money changes hands. Hosts can disagree. Does it mean if you're talking about Kenyan kesef, does it have to be that all the money changes hands, or maybe only some of it? Or maybe isn't even the bach and the smeh, among others, disagree. Does it have to be maybe some symbolic amount of money, not even a down payment? Or does it have to be actually the smeh holds it has to be actually at least a down payment towards the actual payment? Anyway, that's kesef. Shtar we'll talk about a bit in the Gemara. In particular, for our purposes, there's actually two kinds of shtar we need to worry about. There is a shtar kinyan, where the shtar itself creates the kinyan. And then there's a shtar raya, where you did the kinyan using some other method, and the shtar is only there as proof, as a deed, that you actually bought the karka.
The kinyan pre-exists.
The kinyan pre-exists the shtar, as opposed to the shtar kinyan, where the kinyan takes place through the shtar, yes. Which kind of shtar are we talking about over here? We'll get into it in the Gemara a little bit, but we're showing him further discuss it. The Ram says we may actually be talking about both kinds of shtar. Anyway, over chazaka. Chazaka would mean, for example, Rashi gives examples that you dug in it a little bit, like you would do in your own karka. If it's a house, for example, you locked the door, you broke open a wall or a fence or whatever. Any of those kinds of things are examples of chazaka. So those are all a valid kinyan for karka. V'she'en lahem achrayus, as far as nechasim she'en lahem achrayus, meaning the talpalin, ein niknin ela b'mashicha. Those can only be acquired with mashicha. Now, not only really, I mean, we talked about yesterday with animals, there's Mesira and Hagbah and everything. There is, of course, I'm talking about, we're not saying Mashiach as opposed to nothing else. We just mean you can't use Kesef, Shtar, and Chazak. What does it mean? Ella, as opposed to Nechasim, Sheesh, Namachayas, where you can use Kesef, Shtar, and Chazak, Nechasim, Sheen, Lam, Nechayas, meaning Metalkalin, none of those three work. Neither Kesef, nor Shtar, nor Chazak. Aside from Mashiach, there may be other ones. Each one in the individual thing. They also discuss the possibility maybe Mashiach is stronger than the other ones because it's actually mentioned in the Torah, Ekonim Yadam Isecha, as we'll talk about in the Gemara, whereas the other ones, like Ba, and the other ones are not really so clear. It's not really so clear where in the Torah we learn them from. Okay. Continues the mission. Now, if you're buying the chosim sheyesh lahem achrayis, meaning karka, with one of the three methods, kesef, shtar, or chazaka, boys, please don't go into the kitchen. You have no business being there. If you buy nechasim sheyesh lahem achrayis, meaning karka, along with it, you can be koyin nechasim sheyein lahem achrayis, meaning metalklin. This is called kinyan agav. We're going to talk about it at some length in the Gemara. And they can be bought for kesef for shtar of chazaka. So in other words, even though metalklin by themselves, you can't buy just with an exchange of kesef, for example. But if you're doing kinyan agav, if you're buying karka with kesef, then automatically metalklin can be acquired along with it as well. Also, nechasim sheyesh lahem achrayus make create a requirement on nechasim sheyesh lahem achrayus, meaning karka, to swear on them. That we'll talk about in the Gemara tomorrow, that when you have a claim on an issue of, when a person has a claim against somebody else on an issue of dinim mominus, there are cases where a person has to swear, sometimes midaraisa, sometimes midarabanon, moedu mitzvahs, for example, or if there's one aid, that only applies to claims of metalkalin, though. It doesn't apply to claims of karka, for reasons which we'll talk about in the Gemara tomorrow. However, so modim mixes with karka, let's say, yeah, Reuven says, you sold me this entire field, and Shimon says, I only sold you half of it, let's say, no, then there would be no shavua. However, if he's claiming karka as well as metalkalin, then the fact that he has to swear on a metalkalin creates what we'll learn in the next couple of days in the Gemara, Gilgul shavua, that creates the ability for him to say, as long as you're swearing on the metalkalin, then you're also going to have to swear on the karka. So that's the zoikikin. Not a second time. It's one shavua that includes everything. Yeah. So that's the zoikikin. It creates that requirement to swear, even though normally you wouldn't swear on karka. In this case, you do. So Gemara starts off with kesef menolon. Where do we know that karka can be bought with kesef? That a kinyan can happen with kesef. Omachesia, Omachra, because you have the pasuk in Yirmiyah that we've quoted before, Sadis Vakesef Yishnu. In the future, after this mikdash is rebuilt and the Jewish people come back to Eretz Yisrael, fields will be bought in Eretz Yisrael with money. So we see money is a valid.
We have to wait until
the Yirmiyah. Tosfos says, what about Avraham buying from Ephraim, the Maris and Machbela? Tosfos says that's different. Ephraim was a goy. You could argue, a goy, none of the other methods of kinyan that we talk about among Yidden, chalifin and agav and so on and so forth, work with a goy. So therefore, of necessity, it had to be kesef.
Works with a goy.
That's what we're saying. Kesef works with a goy. Not necessarily do any of the other ones, which is pretty controversial among the Rishonim. This comes up in Hilchos Mechiras Chometz. When it comes to Hilchos Mechiras, because everybody agrees that a goy can do kinyan kesef, that is why we make sure to have, I mentioned this a week or two ago, this is why we make sure that the goy pays a down payment on the chometz before Pesach, so it actually belongs to him. They do. They do various other kinds of kinyanim as well, but those are just like to be mechazik, the matter. The primary thing is kesef. You can't prove from that anyway that in a transaction between two Jews, that kesef should be a valid kinyan. The pasuk saw this because of Yishnu teaches us that it is.
There's nothing in Chumash that points to that?
Nope. You don't find any place in Chumash where somebody buys somebody. You have by Hektish, for example, when you donate a field to Hektish, let's say, then you buy it back with Nosak Kesef Akumla. Yeah, but not by head yet, yeah. Okay. The Gemara asks, Ema Adik Ashtar. Why? Say maybe that you need Kesef plus Ashtar, because the Pasuk continues, they will write it in documents and they will sign. So you see on the face of it, you need both. The answer is, Iksiv Yichnu, the Vasayif could come, but yes, if it said the word Yichnu at the end, if it said Sodis Vakesef, the Chosim, the Sefer Vakosim, Yichnu, then it would mean you need all those factors in order to have a Kenyan. Hashta, Iksiv Yichnu, Meikara, but since it said Yichnu right after Sodis Vakesef, it means Kesef Koni, it means the Kesef creates the actual Kenyan. Shtar Raya Bahamahu, in that case, the Shtar is only there as a Raya. It's not the Shtar itself is not creating the Kenyan.
What's the Pasuk?
Sodis Vakesef Yichnu, Vakosai Vasefer Vakosai. So first comes the Yiknu, and then afterwards as a Raya, so the person can prove that he actually owns this field, then you write it and sign it. Amarav, Loishon of Alok Machem Shein Chosven as a Shtar. This that we're talking about, that the Kesef creates the Kinyan, is only in a place where usually they don't write a Shtar. Alok Machem Shein Chosven as a Shtar, but in places where they do normally write a Shtar as part of the process of selling a field, Loikona, then you're not Kona until the Shtar is written, because there's no the person doesn't have a guarantee in their mind that the transaction is complete until that shtar is written. And therefore, one or the other of them could still back out of the deal at that point. He parish, okay, but if you do specify that you want to do the kinyan with only keset, even in a place where they normally write a shtar, then fine, that's valid. It's a nice moment. You can do whatever you want with that. So then that works. He had Rabbi Dibarovin, as we find in the case of Rabbi Dibarovin, Kizavin Ara, when he used to buy land, Omar, he used to say to the buyers, I'm leaving myself the option open. If I want to be able to do the kinyan with the money, then I want to be koine that way, that as soon as the money changes hands, I will automatically be koine it, and neither of us can back out. And if I want to do the kinyan with the shtar, then I can also do that. Meaning, he spelled out, meaning, there may be a case where I'm buying a field, I want the kinyan to be in effect as soon as I give the money, and what will be the good of that? That way, if you want to change your mind and you want to back out of the deal, let's say the price has gone up in the interim, before the shtar is written, you won't be able to. So I'm hedging my bets that way.
Once I've given you the money.
The Ibrahim Shtar Ikni.
Say the same thing with the shtar.
Yeah, that's the other shtar, the other way around. The shtar is the money hasn't changed hands yet. So therefore, the Ibrahim Shtar Ikni, there can also be a case where instead I want to be turned to this field with the shtar, in the sense, and what does that gain me? The Ibrahim Lamadra Hadarnabi, that this way, if I want to change my mind and not pay the money and tell you know what, take back your field, let's say the price has gone down, I still am leaving myself the option open to do that. And in fact, by saying that, he's even saving himself from having to accept the usual mishapara. The Mishnah in Bava Metzia tells us that usually once a deal has been struck, even before the official kinyan has been made, let's say for example in the case of Metaltalin, once money has changed hands but no mashicha has been done yet, if either party wants to back out of the deal, there's a curse that they have to accept in Basin called Mishapara. The Eidishtu who punished the people of Sdoim and the Derat Aflaga and so on and so forth will punish somebody who doesn't keep their words. Like this, with Rabbi Idi Ba'oven telling them explicitly to begin with that I'm leaving my options open, that avoids the whole Mishapara issue.
If the other one accepts,
yeah. Okay, then the Mishnah had said over shtar that the kinyan can also be a kinyan of karka can also be accomplished with shtar. Menolam, where do we know that from? You could be because of the pasuk that we mentioned before, the same pasuk from Yirmiyah, that they write it a document and sign and have witnesses. Came from a shtar raya ba'alma, who you just established before, that the shtar in that case is only a raya. Element.
We said before.
So this the Kesef Yiknu creates the actual kinyan just by handing over the Kesef. The Pasuk kinyan is a chosav v'seif of a chosav. That just means afterward, the shtar is written as a raya. But the kinyan has already been accomplished in the Kesef. Where do you see from that Pasuk that just the writing and handing over of a shtar itself can create a kinyan even before the Kesef is given? No, it's rather from an earlier pasuk in that same section in Yirmiya. The context over there is that part of the story is that Parashat Parshas Zohar. The context is over there, Yirmiyahu that has a nevuah that his cousin Hanamel is going to come to him and say, I have a field in the city of Anosos, the city north of Yerushalayim, where Yirmiya originally came from. I had to sell it to somebody. You're my goyel. You need to buy it back. You're my closest relative. You need to buy it back from the guy. And Yirmiyahu goes and buys the field. And he writes they write a document. They make everything official. And afterwards, Yirmiyahu is wondering. I mean, by now the Kastim are pretty much on the verge of conquering the rest of Eretz Yisrael and destroying the Beis Hamikdash. Why is Hashem telling me to buy a field at this point? He davens to the Eivishter. The Eivishter gives him a long nevuah that takes up the rest of the parak, the gist of which is, yes, there will be a churban, yes, there will be a golus, but there will be a future after that. So anyway, earlier in the whole story, it says over there that when he bought the field, he says, I took the sefer hamikna, I took the document of sale. So we see that the document itself is called a document of sale. It's true in that case he paid money. Nevertheless, though, we still, the one of the Mefarshim answer, I think the Ritva, says the very fact.
Back and,
No, in principle, the idea would be that, yeah, after Golas Bavel, they'll be able to, we'll see later on in the Gemara, it's not so simple. The land itself became Hefker once the Bavlim conquered everything, but still, the Eibishter told him to buy this field as a symbolic thing to show that this isn't the end of Jewish history. There will be a future, there will be fields bought and sold in Eretz Yisrael in the future. Anyway, the point is, the Pasuk calls it Sefer HaMikna, the document of the Kinyan, the document of acquisition, which shows that the document itself can create a Kinyan, in that case, Yumiya did actually pay money, but the point is that just with the Shtar itself, the very fact that the Pasuk calls it Sefer HaMikna shows that Shtar itself is enough to make a Kinyan. Actually, I think the Rashba says a different explanation also. The Gemara is going to mention in a minute the concept of Moichos Tadeu Mipnei Rasa. So if you're selling a field because it's bad and you want to get rid of it, then the Kinyan can happen even before the money changes hands, because you're eager to get rid of it. In that case, it was kind of Moshe Tadeu Mipnei Rasa. Chanamel figures, you know what, the Kassim are about to take over all of Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to end up losing the field anyhow. It's in my interest to have Yirmiyah buy it from me and have cash in hand. Therefore, therefore that would be the kind of case where Shtar alone could create a Kinyan even before money has changed.
Yirmiyah
do with it? Doesn't say. I mean, he only bought it because Eibishter told him to. So what do you do with it afterwards? Nothing. I mean, he probably didn't have a chance to do much with it. Actually, a couple of prokim later tells how Yirmiyahu at one point was trying to leave Yerushalayim to go to Hanoses, maybe to check on that field or whatever, and an official there in Yerushalayim arrested him and then claimed you're going to defect to the Kassim, we need to put you in jail. And then we learned about it in Soita that this guy was the grandson of Hananiah ben Azur, the false Navi of Yirmiyahu's times. Anyway. Okay. How much more? This that we're talking about, that you can do a Kinyan only with a Shtar, is where it's a Shtar Matana, where you're writing in the Shtar that I'm giving it as a gift. But when it comes to a sale, then there's not a Kinyan until the money is given. Because the seller isn't fully makna the thing until he has the money. The point would be, in other words, if you wrote the shtar kinyan in Nissan,
right,
the money didn't change hands until year,
right,
we wouldn't say that the kinyan only has taken place as of year. It's taking place retroactively as of Nissan, but it needs to wait until the money has changed hands before it can retroactively take effect. Rav Nuna asks a contradiction on that from a braisa that says, the shtar ketzad, how is a field sold to the shtar? If somebody writes to somebody else on a piece of paper or on a piece of earthenware, even if that piece itself is not worth a shavah prata, and he writes, sodi mechuraloch, sodi mesumaloch, my field is sold to you, my field is given to you, I raise a mechura and a sunnah, then it's considered sold and given. Now, when we say mechura unasuna, at this point we're assuming it's two different lashonas. He's saying either he writes I'm selling it, or he writes I'm giving it. Either way, seems to work. So what are you telling me, Shmuel, that you need also ketzav? Who most of love, who more law? Okay, so I'm going to ask the question. He also answered it. That case is talking about specifically when you're selling the field because it's bad. Then you want to get rid of it. Then you'd rather let the guy be coined out with the shtar so he can't change his mind once he comes there and realizes how bad it is and why did I bother buying it in the first place. Like this, he's stuck with it at that point. And then eventually I'll get the money. Rav Ashi says no. Actually, what we could assume is we're not talking about that. You assume that it's sodi mechuraloch or sodi mesumaloch. That's two different cases. Rav Ashi is saying no. You have one shtar that says both lashonis. It says sold and it says giving. Rav Ashi, a matana bikish litnaloi. Actually, what's going on over here in this case, we could assume that he really means to give it to him as a gift. He's actually giving it to him as a gift. He's not selling it. So why would he be writing the word sale? Clearly, Yapa says koyche in order to improve his koyach. Namely, how does he improve his koyach? Rashi explains. Suppose that eventually, now this seller Reuven owed money to Levi. If he went and sold the field to Shimon, so like we said in the Mishnah, that's Nechasim Sheyesh La'Machrayim, Levi would have the ability to be towed at that field from Shimon in payment of the debt. Then Shimon, a field is usually sold with achrayus, meaning that Reuven takes responsibility. It's sort of like an insurance policy that if the field's taken away from Shimon, Reuven will reimburse him, so then he'll be obligated to do that normally. If it was a matana, usually that wouldn't happen. You don't expect to be reimbursed if you lost a matana. In this case, what Rav Ashi is saying is the scenario is that Reuven is actually giving the field as a present to Shimon, but he also is taking on himself that, yes, I'll take achrayus for it as well. If my creditor, Levi, should ever come and take this field away from you, I will reimburse you for it. Well, then, in that case, that's why he's writing the Lashon Mecher to establish that there is that achrayus.
It's really a matana.
With the conditions of Mechira. Yeah, that's how Rashi learns it. Tosfos describes differently that what we're talking about over here is that we're dealing here with the din of Bar Mitzvah. The din that we talked about it briefly in Kesubos, I think, the main place the Gemara talks about it is in Bava Metzia. The din that if you buy that if you're selling a field, the person who owns the neighboring field or one of the neighboring fields has the first right to buy it. It'll be better for him. That way he'll have two contiguous fields and it's easier to take care of. Now, in Bava Metzia, there's a sugya over there that goes through all the details when Bar Mitzvah applies, when it doesn't. One of them is that if he gives it as a matana, then there's no din of Bar Mitzvah. If Reuven is giving Shimon a field as a matana, Levi, who is the neighbor, doesn't have the ability to say, well, Shimon, don't take this one, take something else instead, and because it'll be better for me. It's a matana. You don't look your gift horse in the mouth. I don't have the ability to go tell Reuven, give me a different field instead in order to satisfy Levi.
There's no exchange of money whatsoever.
That's the idea, yeah. So therefore, so with matana, there's no din bar mitzvah. On the other hand, when it comes to achrayus, like Rashi said, having it as a sale is better because you get achrayus. So therefore, what it is Tosfos says that what we're talking about over here, there are actually, it's not like Rashi is saying it's one shtar that says both Lashonis. Rather, Tosfos says it's two different shtaris. One says Mecher and one says Matana. Depending which purpose he needs it for, he'll take out the appropriate one. If he needs it to protect himself against the Bar Mitzvah who wants to take it over and give him money, then he'll show him the shtar Matana. If it comes to Achrayus, then he'll use the shtar Mecher. And Tosfos brings another explanation also from the Yerushalmi that the good of writing that the matana is in Bava Basra. The Gemara talks about a case. Suppose that a person sells a field or a house or what have you, and in the middle of that, let's say for example a house, inside that house, there is a burr, there's a well, not a well, a cistern, whatever, like a water tank dug into the ground. Usually, that's not sold together with the house, considered a matzius of its own. However, even if it's built into the floor of the house, usually it's not included in the sale unless you explicitly say so. There's a whole thing, a couple of pruck in Bava Basra that go into this kind of thing. When you sell X, are you automatically selling Y with it or not? Sometimes yes, sometimes not. We'll get to it eventually. That's the shame. Anyway, but if you're giving the house, then definitely the borrower is included. So by saying same thing with fields, parallel things with fields. So by saying matana, the Yerushalmi says, Tosfos says, you're accomplishing that you're saying you automatically the bur or whatever it is assumed to be included. Because kolan noisin behind you up a noisin, when you're giving a matana, usually you give it with a full heart and you give everything that you give the maximum amount, as opposed to a sale where maybe you try to cheat out and finagle and then keep something for yourself. Then aside from all that, the Rashba explains that actually this business of matana bikish litinloi is not actually a different answer. The Rashba learns that it's actually a continuation. When you're mercha sedeum mitnei rasa, when you're selling a field because you want to get rid of it because it's bad quality anyway, then that's the kind of case where you would want it to be considered as a matana or the mecher. Because you want to give it to the guy, you want to write in the shtar that it's a matana in order that basically that way you're rid of it.
Otherwise,
if you just wrote mecher, then the guy would think about it and, this isn't really so good. Never mind. Take back your field and I won't give you the money. Like this, you start out by writing to him a shtar matana, and that way he feels better about it, kind of. So that's shtar. Okay, next to the chazaka, the Mishnah had said that you can also be cutting a field, or karka in general, with chazaka. Minolan, where do we know that from? Because you have a pasuk, again, another pasuk from Yirmiyah. This one takes place after the Churban. back to the Churban. We know most of the Jewish people have been taken into Golus and Babel, yet the minority, a small number of Jews who were left behind, Gedalia was appointed as the governor over there, over them. He's the one whose assassination we commemorate on some Gedalia. So he tells them, Amakra, the Pasuk says, he tells these people, settle in over here in Eretz Yisrael, Ushvu ba'arechem asher tefastem, live in the cities that you have grabbed for yourselves. Meaning the whole land had become Hefter once the Babylonians had conquered it, because all the original owners would have been Miyayish if they were ever going to get back their fields. They know there's going to be a long Golos coming.
They knew that.
Well, the Yumiya had said that there was going to be a 70-year Golos. 70 years. How the 70 years is calculated is a whole other issue. We know Achashverosh made a mistake on it. Another Belshazzar made a mistake on it. What it actually ended up was, from the Churban until Kodesh's proclamation that the Jews started returning to Israel, ended up being 52 years. The 70 years in that case counted from when Nebuchadnezzar first conquered Israel, which was 18 years before the Churban.
Anyway,
Yumiyahu said 70 years, but he didn't clarify when the 70 years started from. It wound up in the end, actually, that there were a bunch of different overlapping cycles of 7 years. I mean, this is too long to get into in detail, but for example, 70 years after Nebuchadnezzar became king, the empire of Babel was destroyed and conquered by the Persians. 70 years after we conquered Eretz Yisrael, Kodesh made the proclamation that they can return. 70 years after the Churban, they actually they got official permission to finish rebuilding the Beit Hamikdash. And in between over there was also 70 years after Golos Yechoniah, when Achashverosh thought that the 70 years are up, that's why he made his party, and Vashti got killed, and everything developed from there. Anyway, so Gedalia tells the people, take you have the land is open to you, because it's all Hefter now, so live in the cities that you've grabbed a hold of, meaning Chazaka. They grabbed a hold of them, they settled them, they Nagadu or Paras or whatever, like Rashi describes, so therefore, yeah. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught a different limud. The Pasuk says, Yerishtim Oitzav Yishatim. Well, going back to when the Jewish people first conquered Eretz Yisrael and settled it, you should inherit it and you should settle it. Meaning, B'mei Yerashtim, how do you really inherit it? The Yeshiva, by actually living in it. Which is Chazaka, yeah. Then the Mishnah said, "V'she'en la machrayis eni nikneh la mevashicha." That nechasim she'en la machrayis, meaning metalim, can only be acquired with mevashicha. Not a little help much, but all right, thanks. Okay, maybe a little bit, I guess. Okay. So, menolon, where do we know that mevashicha is a valid form of kinyan? Just is, because the pasuk says, "V'chisim kuru mimkar lamisecha." If you sell a fail to your friend, "Ikonim yad amisecha," or you buy from the hand of your friend. The hand meaning davar aniknim yad liyad. We're talking about something that goes from hand to hand. So meshicha. So it's a meshicha where the guy actually takes it in his hand and then moves it. Okay, the Gemara says, what about that works according to Rish Lakish. What about a little Rabbi Yochanan? There's machlokas in a few places in Shas, and Bava Metzia is the main place, where Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan discuss what is the main method of kinyan in Metalfel and Minatora. Rish Lakish says, based on this passage, that it's Meshicha. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Dvar Torah Moed Koinitz. Rabbi Yochanan says that really Minatora, the exchange of money, is what creates the kinyan. And the Rabbanon changed it because he explains over there that the Rabbanon wants to make sure you can have a common situation where you buy the Talmud and you haven't yet done Meshicha. They're not even on your property. Let's say, for example, you buy a consignment of wheat and it's still on the other guy's property. Right. Now, the point is like this. What would happen after you paid the money for that wheat? What would happen if a fire broke out in the guy's warehouse? Like this. If Minat Torah, the kinyan, has already taken place, the guy who owns the warehouse is, why should I bother putting out the fire? It's not my weed anyway. It's the other guy's loss. To avoid that kind of situation, Rabbi Yochanan says, the Chacham made a takana and said that you only clean it with Meshicha. That way the guy is going to actually have to take the wheat and schlep it into his warehouse, and now if the fire breaks out there, then of course he's going to do everything he can to finish.
The whole amount of wheat or a partial amount?
The whole amount, I think. Yes. Yeah. Again, there are other forms of kinyan as well that work even according to Rav Yechonon. There's chalifin, there's kinyan agav, etc. But at least for this purpose, to avoid this problem that you can have with Mari's kindness, then the typical way to avoid that is by doing Mashiach Hayim. So Rav Yechonon, from the Dvar Torah Mari's kindness, he says that when a Torah, the exchange of money creates the kinyan, and Mashiach is only Dirabanan, Ma'ikal Meima. So what are you going to say according to how do you explain the Mishnah according to him? The answer is Tana Takanta Dirabanan Kafani. Very well, the Tana is telling us how things are after the Takanta Dirabanan. Everybody agrees that at some point there's Meshicha, the Shalkish would hold their right, the Yechanan would hold his Dirabanan. Same difference. So when the Mishnah says, Ein Nikin Elam Meshicha, that it works out according to either of them.
One says before, and the other one
says Okay, then the Mishnah had said, Nechosim Shein Le'anachrayus, that metaltalin can be acquired, that we said that metaltalin can be acquired by Kinyan Agav together with Karka, that once, for example, you pay Kesef for Karka, automatically you can be Koyin and metaltalin with it, without Meshicha, without Agvar, without any other method. Non-immediately, where do we know that from? Omachitzia, the Omachra, because you have a Pasuk in Divrei HaYomim, talking about Yosh Shafat, by Yitin Lahemat Bia Matonis, where the Pasuk says Yosh Shafat had many sons. If the oldest one, Yehoram, he appointed as a successor, because it's supposed to be ordinarily the Bechor succeeds to his father, if he's Roy.
He was the Bechor.
The Pasuk specifically says, that's a Mamlocha, not on the Yehoram, you are Bechor. We learned about it in Ksuvos, that when Rebbe says, that when he's before he's going to pass away, that Shimon b'ni Chacham, Gamliel b'ni Nasi, we discussed over there, that they're asking the question, why did he just say that? Of course, from Gamliel is a Bechor, of course he gets the position. Based on this pasuk. Anyway, the pasuk says that the Yehoshaphat had other children, so then he couldn't give them the kingship, but instead he gave them matanos, he gave them presents, he gave them gold, silver, etc. Im ore mitzuris b'Yehuda, together with fortified cities in Yehuda. So the fortified cities are Karka, the Kesef and Zahav and whatnot of the Talmudim. We see that when they made the Kinyan on the ore mitzuris, automatically they have Kinyan and they have the other stuff with it also.
Mitzuris
means fortified cities. Okay, the Pnei Yeshua says, how do we know maybe it was two separate Kinyanim? He says, first of all, because why would it put the Metalphalon first? In order to show that the Metalphalon are mixing together, also that it says, Im Ore Mitzuris implies that they go together. So now they had a question. Yeah, right. But in Sidburim Oloi, when we're saying Kinyan Agav, does the Metalphalon have to actually be piled up on the Kauka that you're doing Kinyan Agav with or not? So can it be the Kauka is in one place and the Talisman or someplace else, or do they all have to be in the same spot?
Tiburim means
piled up. I'm going to pay if Toshma, come, we can bring a proof from a Mishnah in Mesepteia. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kauka Kol Shu Chayev is Peyo Vikurim. Any size piece of Kauka is Chayev and Peyo. You have to set aside a portion of it for the Aniyim to take. Ubi Vikurim, and if one of the Shivas Aminim is going there, Tosfos says, for example, a stalk of wheat. Please close the door. One stalk of wheat, let's say, for example, the Vikurim only applies to the Shivas Aminim. Then if you only have one stalk of wheat growing there, you would have to take some of it for Vikurim. Actually, Tosfos says from the Yerushalmi, what you'd have is, let's say, you have one stalk that divides into several. The Kauka culture with a tiny piece of Kauka, you don't have room for more than one stalk, and Bikurim has to be the first, there has to be something left over, but we're talking about, let's say, you have it branches off into several smaller. Yeah. Anyway. Rashi mentions, by the way, a girsa that existed in the Gemara in front of him that added another din that applies to Kauka culture, according to Rav Akiva, Vidui, namely Vidui Meiser. The dean that was in today's Gimel Prakam of Rambam, in the fourth and seventh year of the Shemitah cycle, you're supposed to make sure you've gotten rid of all the Trumas and Maestris and Bikurim and whatnot that you're supposed to, given to the respective parties, and then you go and make a declaration, B'Arpi HaKodesh Min Abayim. It's called Vidri Maestris. So Rashi mentions that Girsa existed. He didn't like that because he said, so what? Even if you don't have Kauka, you still have to do Vidri Maestris. Tosfos discusses it and says that no, actually, that Tosfos agrees with that actually, for a different reason actually, it's true. Even if a person doesn't have Kauka, they would still do Vidri, but. So anyway, so Vidri doesn't belong over here. continues your Rebbe, the list of all of other approval. Also, any amount of karka is a valid thing to use to write approval. We don't exist in that the lawyer has to have some amount of karka in order for approval to be written. Tosfos over here discusses a couple of reasons behind it, one of them being because, since we say in our mission, a karka is nechos m'shiyash l'machrayut, ordinarily you're only going to lend somebody money if they have karka. A case where somebody doesn't even have any karka at all is such a rarity that the chachamim wouldn't have made a takana for what to do for such a loan. Or the other thing, Tosfos says,
everybody today is writing
close to so there is a concept that a number of the Rishonim talk about that may, first of all, we learned from Gittin over there that, let's say, the Malva has karka, you can be mezakeh some of it to the loiva. It can be mezakeh some of it to the loiva, if the Orev has, whatever. But aside from all of that, a number of Rishonim talk about the possibility maybe we can rely on the Dalet Amos that every Yid has in Eretz Yisrael. In principle, every Yid owns Dalet Amos in Eretz Yisrael, even if we don't know exactly where it is. So in principle, maybe you can use that. Anyway, Tosfos gives another reason why karka culture would work. We learned from Kfubas the concept that a loiva, let's say, only has a tiny amount of karka, you can eventually use it to collect the whole debt. You take it in payment of the debt, the guy buys it back from you, then you take it from him again, and then you rinse and repeat until the whole debt has been paid off.
So you just take it, keep it, use it there?
Well, using the payers would create a problem with ribbons, actually. What you would have to do is you'd have to deduct that amount of payers from the loan. That gets a little complicated. We'll learn about it in Bava Metzia when we get to the dinim of ribbons. That's the same thing. Anyway, so any small amount of karka is valid for writing approval on. The litmus image of chosim shem shem achai. And Rav Akiva says you can use any small amount of karka to acquire the chosim shem achai, the talisman, through kinyan agad. Now we have to figure. The Amadrin and Siburim, if you're going to tell me, you're asking whether the metalphalan have to be piled up in the karka. Well, if you have karka kol shehu, obviously they can't be piled up in it. So necessarily, it would have to mean they don't have to be there.
What about Bikurim and
Sayyid? What about it? I mean, Bikurim means you have one stalk of wheat growing there. You separate payah from it, so you separate Bikurim from it.
That's a tree.
No, it's Shiva Saminim, so it includes wheat and barley as well. Tosfos discusses that actually, even though a stalk of wheat, the roots extend out a couple of tefachim, which means they extend to somebody else's land, doesn't matter. The main yinika, the main thing where it gets a source of nourishment from is from the ground directly below it. So, yeah. Anyway, so the point is that you can use even karka kol shehu for kinyan agad. So obviously, the metalphalan don't have to be piled in it, because the yam is in its burin, because if you're going to say the metalphalan have to be piled in it, kol shehu l'may chazi, how can you pile up metalphalan? But not necessarily. Targuma, Rav Shmuel bar Bizna, kamei Rav Yosef. No, because Rav Shmuel bar Bizna explained it in front of Rav Yosef. It's not for macha. Suppose, yes, you say you want to be kind of a needle. So you stick the needle into that karka kol shehu, and thereby you're kind of a kin and aga.
Needle work?
Well, it fits in, it doesn't matter, it fits in a land called kosher. Rav Yosef says to him, kvasta, which means actually there's a number of different explanations that are showing him what it means, but basically it's an expression of disapproval. Rashi says, like, see our tani, you're calling me sar. To say that's what the Mishnah means. There's other explanations. There's other explanations, including that the Aruch says it means there's a disgust that you're showing. I'm disgusted by that. You're turning my stomach. Please, boys, please close the door. We're having a hard enough time with hearing the music as it is. You've disgusted me, or you're turning my stomach, or different other things like that, basically meaning, what on earth are you talking about? Would the Tana go to so much trouble to tell us that you can acquire it in the Chosim Shem Lamachrayim to tell us how you can be turned out of a needle? Well, can you not? Ravashi says, so what's the problem? Why? Suppose you could have a scenario where a person wants to be makne a diamond, which is worth 1,000 zuz, to somebody else. What does he do? He hangs that off the side, he hangs that off a needle using a piece of thread. He sticks that needle below. He sticks that needle into a piece of ground, kol shehu. He's makne the guy the karka kol shehu, and along with it comes this diamond worth 1,000 zuz.
He attaches the diamond to the needle,
sticks the needle into a karka kol shehu, is makne the guy the needle, and with it, is makne the guy the karka, and with it, by kinyan agav, comes the needle and the diamond. Yeah. Okay. So you can't prove anything one way or the other from that mission. Okay, next. Toshma. Amar Rav Elazar, the Maisim of Adoni Echad Shahi Yerushalayim. It happened once with a person from Modon, is the name of a city in Eretz Yisrael, who was in Yerushalayim. Shahi Metalfalin Habe, he had a lot of Metalfalin. Ubikish Litnam Machana, he wanted to give them away as a present. And the Chachamim told him, there's no way to fix up the matter. There's no way to make it a valid matana. Now, why not? We'll talk about it later. Unless you are makne to the people as Kenyan Agav, using karka. Later on, the Gemara will ask why he couldn't have used one of the other methods of Kenyan. But for now, let's just go with what we have in the Bible. He had Metalfalin, but the problem was, being from Mada and not being from Yerushalayim, he didn't have any local karka.
Who says you local?
Not local. Well, that's what we're asking. That's what we're trying to figure out over here. We're trying to figure out whether it needs to be stored, and that's what we're in the middle of discussing. He had no local kauka. Maybe he had no kauka at home. Maybe he had no kauka back home in Modern either. He had sold his kauka in Modern. He moved to Yerushalayim, and he hadn't had a chance to buy any kauka. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever it is. So they told him the only way you're going to be able to accomplish that is with Kinyan Agam. So what did he do? Halach a base seller some Yerushalayim. He went and bought a base seller near Yerushalayim. Base seller actually has two possibilities. Later on, the Gemara is going to explain what it really means. But for the moment, there's two possibilities we can assume what base seller means. Either it means a tiny spot of land, the size of the seller coin, seller means a rock, so it means like a rocky peak. So like a spot where, you know, it's a spot of land. There's a piece of rock jutting out from it, but it's not a place you could put anything on top of. So he went and bought that for Omar, and he said, Tzfoni zeh l'tzfoni. He said, the north side of this is going to Tzfoni. V'imrei meyeh tzfoni meyeh chavius. And along with it, by Kinyan Agav, I'm being makna to him 100 sheep and 100 barrels of wine. That's what we have to figure out. That's what we're trying to figure out, whether it has to actually be on there or not. Yeah, that's why we're bringing this price is to figure this out. The Haggai Tzionim adds a gives as well that he also, it wasn't just Tzioni, he says, for example, the north side of it is for Tzioni, the south side of it is for Tzioni. He's giving different amounts to different people, and each one he defines a certain area of this Kauka Basela that he's giving them Kinyan Agav along with the sheep and the barrels. Umes, and then he died, the Kimo was Svarav, and the Chachamim upheld what he said, that what he said is valid, and his gifts are considered valid.
So the Tzoni
of the seller size land, let's say, to take Rashi's first example, goes to Tzoni, and along with it goes Meir Tzoni and Meir Chavius, and the same thing with the south side. Now, the Yamad Brain and Tzvurim, now, if you're going to tell me that the Metalplan have to be piled up in the land that you're doing Kinyan Agav with, base seller, my chazi, how could you fit 100 sheep or 100 barrels in a base seller or half a base seller? Tertius Riyaz Zokin, by the way, asks, what do we need all of that? Why don't we just assume the guy died, mitzvah l'chaim d'rames, as we learned in Ksubas and in Yiddish. Why don't we just assume that it was because of that? Maybe the Kinyan Agav itself wasn't good, but the fact that he said it before he died, and then he died, mitzvah l'chaim d'rames. No, but the question is, of course we want to prove one way or the other, but the question is, in terms of the Braisa, leaving aside our question of Tziburim, in terms of the Braisa, why would we have to assume that it had to be Kinyan Agav rather than assume that it's...
Right. Yeah.
So, anyway, Tosfos Riyaz Zokin answers because... Tosfos Riyaz Zokin answers because Mitzvah L'Kayim D'Rames only applies when the person was actually taking it out of his Rishut.
And so,
for example, he says, give a money to so-and-so. In this case, he's saying this land goes to Pliny and with it may have thrown it, may have hobby, if that's not really taking it out of his own rishus, and therefore you wouldn't say on it, Mitzvah L'Chaim D'Rames. There's a related answer to that. So it would have to have the Kinyan Agav then. It would have to be Kinyan Agav, which gets us back to our question. Also, there's another answer I think Tosfos gives an answer in Tzubos. Another reason is also Mitzvah L'Chaim D'Rames is only when the Nechasim are already placed in the hands of a third party. Who's supposed to give them to here, which wasn't the case here. Okay. The answer is, the Gemara says, not necessarily, because mi sabra beis sela sela mamish. You're thinking that beis sela means literally a sela, either a sela-sized piece of property or a sharp peak. No, my cellar, the Nefesh Torah. It may have been called a base cellar. It was actually quite large, maybe large enough to fit the actual 100 sheep and 100 barrels. Vamai Kordalei cellar. So why did they call it cellar? Tekashi Kasella, because it's hard ground, like a cellar, like a rock. So it may have been a very large area. It may have been an actual very large area, but it was all rocky. They couldn't use it for anything anyway, so therefore you could buy it cheaply. And yes, there would be room enough for it. There would be room enough in it to put all the sheep and all the barrels. So you can't necessarily prove one way or the other from that story. Tashma, the Amr of Yehuda, Amr of Yehuda Amr Lav, Maisa Ba'adam Achav Shechol of Yerushalayim, Rabbi Eliezer, there would happen with a certain person that he became sick, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the story would have to be that he became sick, or according to the Rabbanon, it would have to be that he's healthy. Namely, we learned in Ksugas, and we learned sporadically here and there, the concept that when a Shechivmana gives orders before he passes away. What he says is as if it's written and delivered already. It's automatically valid. Because you don't want Shalot Yitzhak Taiti, although as Havi Gemara says in Baba Basra, we don't want that he's gonna die thinking that his last wishes are not going to be fulfilled, and then he's going to get, it's going to cause him mental distress. Rabbi Lozer does not hold of that concept. Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Lozer does not hold of that concept of Divir Shkidmenak Ksuvim Lechim Asurim Gamu. So therefore, So according to Rabbi Eliezer, the case over here would be the person was sick. In order for what he says, and the next lines of the Braisa to work out, you need some kind of actual kinyan. Just him saying it is not going to be enough. According to the Rabbanon, that Divya Shchivmera are Ksuvin v'chimisurin, you don't need that. If he was a choyla, if he was a Shchivmera, then he wouldn't need any of this. We wouldn't have the discussion. According to them, it would have to be that it was a bari, and matnas bari, for sure you need some kind of kinyan.
If there's a kinyan, he has to be barred.
A shchivmana according to the chachamim wouldn't need a kinyan. So, anyway, continues the b'raisa. This is a memra of the Rabbi Yehuda saying in the name of Rav. Shoyla metalfalin habe. He had a lot of metalfalin, similar to the other guy from London. Ubikash litna matani. He wanted to give him away the gift. Again, Omer loy ein la takana ad shiyachna magabe chagga. Again, the Chachamim told him it's not going to work unless you do kinyan agav, unless you makne to the recipients you want together with chagga. Ma also, so what do you do? Halach halakach base roiva samach Yerushalayim. He went and bought a base roiva near Yerushalayim. Now, unlike the previous case that we had base cellar and we could dingzik whether base cellar means a small area or a large area, base roiva, we know how much it is. A base roiva is the amount of land that you could plant a quarter of a cab of barley or wheat or whatever, some grain of that sort. It's not a big amount. A base saw contains 24 roivas, and a base saw is only 50 by 50 amas, 2,500 square amas. So a base roiva is about 100 square amas, about 10 by a little over 10 by 10 amas. Base saw is 50 by 50, so a base roiva, which is 1/24 of that, is a little over 10 by 10 amas. 104 and something square hours. So he bought that for Omar, and he said, Tefach al Tefach with Pliny. Out of this land, a Tefach by a Tefach goes to Pliny. The Imay may have sown a Melchavius, and along with that square Tefach goes 100 sheep and 100 and 100 barrels. And presumably he did the same thing. He apportioned out the base roiva, I guess, to other people the same way. Umes, and he died. Bekim ha'chacham esmarav. And again, the chacham upheld what he said as being valid. Again, you can't say it's because mitzvah l'chaim diram nes for the reason that Joseph Zuri has offered them. Necessarily, it must be kinyan agav. So if you're going to say that the metalfalin has to be piled up on the field, tefach ha'tefach ha'mayachazi, then for sure you can't fit 100 sheep or 100 barrels in a tefach ha'tefach. Here we don't have the ability to fit. Now, come on. Here we don't have the ability to say, like we did before, that really it was a larger area. We know how much a tefach by tefach is, and it's not going to fit it. So it would seem to prove that kinyan agav is good even without them being on the actual karka. He must have no, because hachav my skin is dumb. No, because what you could be talking about over here is that he didn't mean that he's giving away the actual 100 sheep or 100 barrels. He's giving away an amount of money equivalent to them, equivalent in value to them. Well, the amount of money that it takes, that 100 sheep and 100 barrels of wood can be piled on an area, tefach by tefach, yeah. It's a pile of coins, yeah. the Gemara says, in fact, Hachi Nami Mistabra. In fact, it seems logical to say that it must have been coins rather than the actual sheep or barrels. Because if you're going to say that he was actually trying to be Machne, the actual sheep or the actual hobbyist that he had in his possession, then what are they telling him? What are they telling him? Ein l'chol takano, you need kinin agav. Why go to all that trouble? Let him just be Machne it to each of the other people by kinin chalifin. The fact that we're saying that must be because money, coins, are one coin. True, I guess that's true. The Zahav is a Peiris. The Zahav kind of has a Kesef. The Mashiach of the Peiris creates the requirement. So no. The rule is, Ein Matbeya Nikna B'Chalifin. You cannot acquire coins with Kinyan Chalifin. You can only acquire other kinds of metalpolin or Pavka, for that matter, with Chalifin. So therefore, if we're talking about over here money, then he couldn't do Kinyan Chalifin in order to be Machnes to the other people. Because mice. That would seem to prove that, yes, we must be talking about mice over here rather than actual sheep or actual barrels. So the mice is the Elamai of Dummy. So what are you going to tell me then that actually it was money? In that case, then still, what's the problem? Why are you telling him the only way to do it is Kinyan Agam? You still have another way. Let him have him do Kinyan Mashiach on it.
And what
are the no, on the money. Money you can be kind of a Mashiach. Again, Hazav Karnes HaKesef, that if a person is, if two people are making a deal, I'll give you a gold coin and you give me in exchange an equivalent amount worth of silver coins. Once the one person does Mashiach on the gold coins, which are considered payers for that purpose because gold circulates less easily than silver, automatically, then the deal is finalized, neither of them can back out, and the other guy is obligated to pay the kesef. So when we get to this part above Matzia, early next year, that's the Shem, we'll deal with it at great length. There's actually a machlokus between the Babli and the Yerushalmi on it, which turns out is two different versions of how Rebbe himself taught it in his yeshiva. But anyway. La halacha, we follow the Babli, and then the Gemara has a long discussion back and forth about it. But what it comes out in the end is whichever kind of coins circulate more freely is considered the money. The other one is considered the payers. Silver circulates more easily than gold because people, you know, think of it in modern terms. Dollar bills circulate much more easily than hundreds. So therefore, the gold is.
Dollar bills
and
silver.
I'm saying it's the same principle though. Smaller coins circulate more readily than larger ones. So therefore the silver is the kesef and the gold in that case is considered the payers. Whatever, like I said, when we get to Perek HaZahav in Bav Metzia, we'll deal with it at great length. It's a shame. Anyway, returning over here. So what are you going to say? The case is that he was trying to give money away to these people. So still, why are you saying you need Kinyan Agav? They could have done Mashiach. Ella, the lesser the Makabal Matana. Obviously, we must be talking about that the Makabalin, the people that he wanted to give away these bequests to, are not there right now. Therefore, we have to say no Mashiach was possible. Well, fine. Hachinami, the lesser the Makabal Matana. Fine. In that case, you can answer that maybe there could have been chalifin done, but the Makabal himself wasn't available to do chalifin. And Rashi says not necessarily was he able to find somebody else who was willing to give away his own gauchel or whatever it is to do Kenyan chalifin on behalf of somebody else. So therefore, in other words, you could say, so therefore you don't really have a proof one way or the other. You could say that it was money, which could actually be piled in that tefach, and in that case, they could have done Mashiach, but they weren't available, or it could have been the actual sheep and barrels of wine, and they don't have to be present on the actual kata. They could have done Mashiach, they're not available. They could have done Chalifin, nobody else was available who was willing to do Chalifin on their behalf.
And for Matana, you have to be available?
To do a Kenyan, right? You have to have some kind of Kenyan. That's why he was trying to do Kenyan Agav, where the other guy doesn't have to be present. Okay. Fine, you still have another possibility. Let him be Makne to him through somebody else. Let somebody else do Mashiach. You, Reuven, do Mashiach on behalf of Shimon. And again, you can do that, and he'll be Kenyan. Then there's like some Hadaite. This giver, the person from mother, you know, in the second case, we hear this person, this body or shidman, as the case may be, didn't trust the local people that if they do mashicha, and if that they're not going to do mashicha, having themselves in mind rather than the recipient. Because he figures while he has them in his possession to do mashicha on them, he may go grab a hold and start taking them for himself. Okay, the elamai ain leitakana. So then, what do you mean to say? So what do you mean ain leitakana? There's no way around it except kininaga. On the face of it, there were other ways around it. Given that this noisid did not have smichus das that he could trust the locals to be able to do kinyan mashicha or chalikman or what have you, then you're left with if the only way to do was kinyan aga. You still can't prove one way or the other from the story whether it was money which could actually be piled in that tefach ha-tefach or whether it was the actual sheep and barrels, and then we would say that they don't have to be piled in there. So we still don't know yet, and we'll. That's a special, well, not it's a special case, but we don't have the details on the case to know. We don't have the details on the case to know whether it was the actual money or whether it was the money or whether it was the actual sheep and barrels. If we knew one way or the other, if we knew that it was the actual sheep and barrels, yeah, we'd have a proof. But we don't know for that for sure. We could understand the story that it was money, and he just couldn't find somebody who he could trust to do Kenyan Mashicha or what have you for it, and therefore all he was left with was Kenyan Agav. And we'll continue the discussion tomorrow about the check.